Standing, if you would, and we're going to read a verse of Scripture as we continue our series in God's Word on a letter exposing modern-day apostasy from the book of Jude. Remember, there is a threefold purpose to this study. Number one, we want to expose false teachers, apostates. Number two, we want to expose them to the point that we don't ever follow them so we know who they are. But number three, we don't ever want to bear the trait of an apostate. We don't ever even want to have the shade of an apostate. So the application is so direct to the child of God. Now, over the past couple of weeks, there's been a lot of very direct issues from God's Word. Now, I'm not afraid of direct issues from God's Word. I am not a fan of preachers who preach opinions that get direct about things. It will never last if we cannot substantiate it from the pages of God's Word. But I love it when the Lord just reveals truth to us in our word-by-word, verse-by-verse study of the book of Jude. We're in verse number 11 tonight, and we are in our verse number 8. We are in our sixth message in 8 verses. Look at it with me. The Bible here declares to us through the pen of Jude, likewise also. Now, when we see those words, likewise also, we need to know that they are a bridge that is connecting us back to the previous words that Jude has already given us, specifically in verses 5, 6, and 7. In verse number 5, he speaks about the instance, or even we can call it the increase of doubt. Remember the children of Israel, we talked about that last week as they were wandering through the wilderness. Verse number 6, he's pointing us back to the influence of the devil with the fallen angels. There'll be another reference of that when we get into verse number 9 in a certain way. And then in verse number 7, he is speaking about the impact of degradation. Remember with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and how apostasy always starts with one little sin that pops up. One little sin will cause us to fall away from the truth. And then when we begin the process of going down, 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 degradation to destruction. And we learned that last week from verse number 7. But it is here that he is giving us, in the words of verse number 8, he is linking together everything that he has just said, and he is reminding us of it with those words, likewise also. In other words, he is referring to those people that he just spoke about, an apostate. And he gives a lot of examples in these verses. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Drawing your attention, please, to those words, filthy dreamers, living in a dream world. Holy Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, understanding that I need your help as we deal with the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the book of Jude, the letter that has been given to us, Lord, to be able to be better for you, to be aware of who an apostate is and what they do. Speak to our hearts, change our lives by the power of the Word of God tonight. Purge me, Lord, of anything that be in my life that would displease you. Lord, I plead the blood of Christ now, understanding that I am incapable of doing anything. May all of us tonight seek your Spirit while it may be found. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Several years ago, you all probably remember, our family and several friends took a Disney cruise. On these vacation cruises, they always have some form of evening entertainment that you can go to. One particular night, they were doing their primary show, the most popular show that they had. It was called Disney Dreams, an enchanted classic. The story was really all about a young girl who went to bed one night and she fell asleep, and in her dreams, she began dreaming about all of the different Disney stories and the fairy tales that were within them. One by one, in her little dream world mind, she went through the stories of things like The Lion King, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, and of course, Frozen. What a joy that was. And then a whole lot of others that came with it. It was a really good show. I mean that seriously. And I very much enjoyed it. However, I remember so clearly sitting there that night. And as I was watching this show, the thought crossed my mind of how this little girl is living in a dream world. It is a world that simply is not real. It is very evident to me, perhaps it is to you as well, that spiritually speaking, people all around us in our lives, likely even in many churches, spiritually speaking, they are living in a dream world, a world that simply is not real. They have a blind eye to the vivid Spirit of God that is set before him, us, a deaf ear to the Spirit of God that is speaking to us. And as a result of all of that, they have a dead heart to the truth of God that is set before us. When it comes to this matter of a full-fledged apostate, somebody that has fallen away from the truth of God, the bottom line is this: when you see those words, filthy dreamers, God is telling us through the pen of Jude right here that they are living in a dream world. It is a world that simply is not real. And so therefore, when we come to verse number 8 in Jude's letter exposing modern day apostasy, we find him giving us this very truth of those people that are out there that are living in a dream world. So with that said, we want to remember again that we are talking about this in this study to expose who the false teacher is, so we will not follow them at any time, and also to look at the traits of an apostate so that we never bear them in our own lives. It is confusing to the sinner out there when we bear the traits of apostasy in our own lives. The fact is, as we've learned, we do that. We do bear the traits. We fall away from the truth. It's something that we cannot do. With this in mind, I want to share three simple truths with you from verse number 11. I'm calling living in a dream world. I want you to consider, first of all, with me, how that we see right here that there is a denied reality. The denied reality. Now look with me again in verse number 8. The Bible declares to us likewise also these filthy dreamers. Now this word dreamers that we see that Jude gives us, it simply means they have been given over to sensuous dreaming. Given over to sensuous dreaming. The word is actually speaking of someone who is delusional, I guess we can put it that way. They are delusional. They are someone who is living in a Disney dream, enchanted classic type of fantasy in their life. They've drifted so far away from reality, they are living in a dream world. The word filthy, it is a word that is actually added right here. And it is done so just simply to deepen the emphasis of the perverted nature of the mind of someone who begins having filthy dreams. Things that do not honor God in their actual dream life. The apostate's mind, it has become so polluted by the things of this world, by the devil, by sin, by a lack of submission to the truth of God, that they not only sit around daydreaming about things that do not honor God and are falling away from truth, but they are actually even having night dreams about it as well. They cannot seem to get away from it. It is something that is in their subconscious. And so day or night, their mind is pulled away from the truth of God. And there may be some that are out there that say, well, my goodness, Brother John, what is wrong with that? What's wrong with somebody having daydreams or night dreams? At least they are not affecting other people by the filthy dreams that they may be having. Dreams that are not aligned with the truth of God. What possibly could be wrong with it? It's not hurting anybody else. It's in their mind. It's in their subconscious. False, ladies and gentlemen. That is absolutely not true. For you see, filthy dreams do affect the lives of other people. May I prove it to you very quickly? Think about it this way. Have you ever had a dream in your life? Perhaps you would even call it a nightmare. Anybody ever had anything like that? A bad dream, maybe a nightmare. You woke up in the middle of the night and you had the sweats, and as much as you tried, you could not seem to get the events and the activity of that dream off of your mind. You lived your whole day, that next day, thinking about it. Several years ago, over the course of about a week, I had the same dream two or three straight nights. It was a dream that I was being robbed at gunpoint, and then there was a physical alteration that immediately followed. Now, whenever I told my dream to my buddies, of course I made it good. I told them that the guy that attacked me was 7.5 foot tall. He was 350 pounds, every bit of it. We were walking through a dark alley that night, and he sucker punched me, knocked me to the ground, and I was barely able to retain any form of consciousness whatsoever. My attacker then tied my hands behind my back with chains. chains so tight that it was cutting off my circulation. I was laying on the ground with my hands tied behind my back. And then he took a sledgehammer and he broke both of my legs with it. And I was laying there in excruciating pain. I really was. It was awful. But then my years of martial art and my cat-like reflex experience then just jumped in. I stood to my feet, remarkably so. I broke the chains with my weight training that I had had for all of these years that he had tied behind my back. I broke the chains. I stood on both broken legs, and then I began to beat him to a pulp with a dead, wet squirrel, and then drug him by his ears straight to the police station where I booked him myself as this criminal. You know what I was doing? I was living in a dream world, wasn't I? I was living in a dream world. That didn't really happen, just in case you don't know that. I made that part of it up. But I really have had some dreams before in my past, some things that I would wake up the next morning and I would have the sweats. I would do everything I could to be able to get that off my mind. And that's what actually happened that night. When I had those reoccurring dreams that I was being robbed at gunpoint, that's actually a fact. And I remember how that for the many days even to follow, I really struggled so hard. I mean, it really did affect my life. I was living on edge for a certain amount of days. It affected my life. Jude is saying that an apostate has been so corrupted and so polluted by the lies and the deception and all of the stuff that the devil has placed in his life that he is living in a fantasy world. It is a devil-inspired dream that he is having, and it is affecting his life even after he wakes up. It is something that is in his subconscious that is so dirty, and the devil is affected so badly that he wakes up and he is thinking about it, and it has him on edge all of the time, and he cannot seem to get rid of it. What's so scary about this is once the devil gets into our subconscious so much, and we have daydreams and night dreams that are not of God, they are dreams of the devil. Somebody who is an apostate, now hear me now, they will begin to think that many of those dreams were sent by God. God was speaking to them in a dream. He thinks that because some of these dreams that he was having were from God, he then seeks to broadcast them in a misleading way, usually for the purpose of his own self-gain or production or recognition in his own very life. Now, let me get right down to where the rubber meets the road about this. And I want to be real careful about what I say here because I certainly can't speak for everyone and every circumstance that is out there. But many of you are aware of the fact, I'm sure, we're hearing a lot today about people who are having dreams about the future and things that are going to happen in the future, a lot of which is probably the result of what we're dealing with in our day today. They are having these dreams, they are seeing these things, and they are dreaming all of these things. And then they will go to extreme efforts to go out and broadcast it, whether it be to their work friends, whether it be to their family. Of course, in the day of the internet, they're broadcasting it to the whole world if you actually do get access to that. Now, I really put very little stock or confidence in those type of dreams and those people that are publishing those dreams this way. Now, here's why. Bear with me. Here's why. First of all, there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, the written canon of the Word of God, the scripture that we have right here, I find no evidence anywhere in God's Word that He now, in our day, works and speaks through dreams anymore. It is then that we are getting into a whole different issue of a new revelation. God said that He wouldn't do that. Now, I just find no evidence of that in God's Word. However, if He did that, a true God-honoring, a true God-fearing believer would be so discreet and so careful about how they broadcast that out there because they would have such holy fear in their heart that more glory would be given to them than there would be to God. And so many people that truly are a God-fearing person, I'm not saying people don't have dreams. I'm not saying that people don't have these things, and some things actually may come to pass. They may happen. And I'm not saying that's of God at all, not by any means. What I'm saying is somebody that has a true fear of God, a holy reverence of God, very rarely is going to go out there and publish those dreams then to the entire world, because there is a very much reality that more glory is going to be given to that individual than it will to God, especially if it comes true. And it's something that we ought to be mindful of when we do see these things, or when they were to happen in our lives. I'm just simply giving us a point to ponder, a word of warning, that in many, many cases we must be alert to these things. Our radar needs to go up to them, because that is a trait that is given to an apostate in the Word of God. Somebody that has dreams about things that God says are going to happen, and they go out and they publicize it. It's something we need to be alert with. Now, when you go to bed at night and you go to bed thinking about something, there is a very good possibility that you're going to dream about it, right? You ever done that? Gone to bed, really? I mean, it's heavy on your mind. You're thinking about something. There's a very good possibility you may have some dreams having to do with that. And if you did, you know what happens next. You're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to be thinking about it still. Likewise, when an apostate, someone who has fallen away from the truth, when they start to have filthy dreams of impure natures, or dreams that are not influenced by the Spirit of God and are affecting a life spiritually, or taking you down a road that do not honor God, you will not only wake up that next morning thinking about that, and you certainly will, but if you're not super careful, you will succumb to it and you will begin to act upon that dream that you just had. If you go to bed dreaming about that thing, or thinking about that thing that we shouldn't be thinking about, you may have a dream about it in the night. You may wake up the next morning, and because that was so real to you, you very well may go out and seek to act upon it. If you dream about the high that you can get from doing some form of a drug, and you may wake up and you may have a craving within you that you just cannot seem to get rid of, and so you'll go out in this world and you will go and you will get that drug, and you know what's going to happen next? You're going to start pulling other people into the consequences of what you are doing as well. If you go to bed and you go to dreaming about that alcohol, that drink that you may want to have in your life, and I mean it is so real to you, and you just seem to wake up with that craving to go out and have that drink of beer or that alcohol, you rest assured that the devil's going to use that to get into your mind and to get into your life. And on your way to work, you're going to pass more bars and more beer places going to be advertising liquor than you've ever had before. And there's going to be that temptation to carry you in and to act upon that. If you go to bed and you are having some type of dreams of things that just do not honor God, some type of filthy perversion that may be out in this world, there is a very real possibility that you're going to wake up thinking about that, and you're going to go out and you're going to act on that, and then you're going to pull yourself into a mess and pull other people into it as well, just to satisfy your own filthy dreams. Are you following me right now? Someone who has fallen away from the truth, if they have fallen away from the truth of God, they think the world and everything in the world revolves entirely around them. Have you ever met anybody like that? They just think the world revolves around them. It's their world. Everything's around about them. It don't matter what anybody else thinks. The whole world is all about them, and it doesn't matter what it is, and they will do whatever they have to do to be able to satisfy the craving of their heart and the craving of their life. Your dreams, ladies and gentlemen, they do affect your lifestyle. Your lifestyle does affect your dreams. What is so bad about an apostate is an apostate literally believes that he, she will get away with that. Now, hear me close right now. If you think that you're going to be able to go out and get away with sin of any form, it don't matter what it is, you are living in a dream world. That's what Jude is telling us. If you think you're going to go out, you're going to have filthy dreams, you're going to go out and you're going to act on these things, you're going to start doing things that doesn't honor God at all, you think you're going to get away with it, and an apostate will, and many people in here could give testimony tonight of how you start doing things that don't honor God, and you think you're going to be the only person that has ever lived, ever been born of woman, that is going to be able to get away with it. You, my dear friend, are living in a dream world. It is not going to happen. God's going to catch up with every bit of it. It doesn't matter what it is. Filthy dreams can be a sign of someone who is falling away from the truth. Someone who is bearing the traits of apostasy. There's a lack of reality there. So with that in mind, and with that said, only you know in your heart and your mind right now what your dreams like. What your dreams like. What is your mind thinking about when you go to bed? And while you're asleep, I promise you, better get these dreams straightened out. They will affect the way we live the next day God gives us to live. Better be real careful. Better pay real, real attention, because it bears the traits of an apostate. Whenever that happens, better throw the brakes on it. Better go get a hold of God. Say, Lord, I need your help right now. I'm drifting the wrong way. There is the denied reality. But then there is also that we see in verse number 8, we also see the detestable relationships as well. The detestable relationships. We look in verse number 8 further. It's right here on black and white in the pages of the Word of God. He says here, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Isn't that interesting? He says they defile the flesh. This word defile, it means to taint. It means to contaminate. And it is referring to a moral and a physical abnormal immorality. Remember last week how we talked about that word fornication and what it was, how direct the meaning was of that word that Jude was giving us? Well, he's once again being very direct with us here. It's talking about that moral or that physical abnormal immorality, that thing that's just not normal. That thing is so wrong, it's so perverse that it's just an abnormal thing. Now these words that we see here further, these words defile the flesh. They are giving the exact same idea of the words of verse 7 that says strange flesh going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. We remember about that, don't we? We talked about that last week, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, apostasy had resulted in the same filth, abnormal immorality, and all these different types of acts that go with that in Jude's day, as it did way back, of course, in Sodom and Gomorrah's day, all the way up to Jude's day, in Jude's day, beyond Jude's day, and to present day. Right exactly where we are at right now. Now, when we look at the construction of the verse, we notice how Jude does not say that these who fall away from the truth of God and these who have these filthy dreams, these apostate, it does not say defile their flesh. But if you notice it closely, the Bible says defile the flesh. Defile the flesh. In other words, what he's saying right here, it's not only your flesh that's going to get defiled. It's the flesh of everybody else that is around you. Someone who has fallen away from the truth of God will do filthy, they will do disgusting, immoral, and abnormal things, and they will have no problem bringing everybody else into the satisfaction of it, alluding to what we just talked about a minute ago. They'll have no problem do it. They don't care who else is going to get their flesh affected by it as long as they can satisfy the craving of their life in that moment. It doesn't matter to them. Jude is point blank telling us right here how that an apostate will unravel the moral fabric of a nation. And he won't care. An apostate won't care who next to him he, she hurts. They are going to do what they can to unravel the moral fabric of America, and that's of a nation. And that's what we're seeing in America today. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the modern church today has accepted, is allowing, and has become a breeding ground even for the dreams, the filthy dreams of an apostate to actually come true. In many cases, the church is letting the filthy dreams of apostates come true. There once was a time when the church would call out sin. And the church would say, this is wrong. This is something you couldn't do. You can't do. And there was once a time that the world actually respected the church enough that they wouldn't make you work on a Sunday. They wouldn't sell liquor on a Sunday. Shouldn't sell it any time, but they would, at least wouldn't sell it on a Sunday. They wouldn't let you play Little League Baseball on a Sunday. They wouldn't have golf courses open. There was once a time when that was the case. And there was enough fear of God. I can remember in my own life that somebody not coming to church wouldn't even pull into the parking lot of a church on Sunday. And I learned that in Shelby, North Carolina. When I was just a 5 or 6 year old boy, somebody told us that one time you were having service. I didn't even want to pull in the parking lot, so I didn't disturb anybody at all. There was once a respect for the church of God, the house of God, and the work of God. The church used to call out all of the filthy dreamers, but the church has fallen away from the truth. We have fallen away from preaching against the detestable relationships that is bringing destruction to a nation and unraveling the moral fabric of it. We are allowing the filthy dreams of apostates to come true in the Church of America today. Back when Melissa and I were teenagers, there was a very well-known evangelist that came to our area to preach. We did not go to hear this man preach at a neighboring church. There was a girl in our youth group who did go to hear him preach. She was on fire for the Lord at the time. I mean, she had God all over her life. I mean, the glory of God was in her eyes. The love of God was in her heart. Everywhere she went, she was telling people about Christ. She went to hear the great evangelist preach. She wanted to meet him. Prior to the service, the young lady went up and introduced herself, saying, I go to such and such church across town here. I've heard you preach before, and I wanted to come and I wanted to meet you. Can't wait to hear you preach. To which she later said that she felt uncomfortable the way that the man responded to her, and she could tell that he was very intrigued by her. The service went on. The young lady was shocked at the end of the service when the evangelist came up to her and made an inappropriate advancement to her, inviting her to his hotel room. The young lady was totally shocked. It was a young girl, 16 or 17 years old maybe. She was totally shocked by it. She immediately ran home and told her lost mother, in whom we'd been praying for, it seemed forever, if that old gal would get saved. She went and told her lost mother. Her mom naturally and rightfully hit the roof. The very next day, she took her daughter and went into the office of the host pastor that was hosting the evangelist. Sat down in the office, told the story of what had happened, to which the pastor replied and said, oh, young lady, I'm sure you just misunderstood what the evangelist was actually saying, what he was actually suggesting. The young lady and her mother was then escorted out of the church, and nobody ever gave them her ear on what went on. Now, I'm always very careful about this. A couple of reasons. Number one, anybody can mess up. And if you're made of flesh here tonight, you can mess up. Amen. There is a moral failure, a trap of the devil that is laid out for every one of us. And the strength of ourselves spiritually is the only thing that's going to be able to get us by. Anybody can mess up. So I'm real careful about this because of that. I'm not above that, nor are you. But another reason is you got to be careful about believing a lot of uncorroborated accusations that are out there. You just don't know what the truth is. But again, the problem here was nobody even gave that young lady their ear. Immediately shut her off, sent her out. Nothing else was really said about it until a short time later the news broke that well-known evangelist had been caught in multiple premarital affairs, extramarital affairs, while on his travels in meetings. All of a sudden, that young lady's story got a whole lot more believable. And a whole lot more rightful was that mother in going to deal with that issue. You see, the last I heard, that young lady is no longer serving God and never has since, the last I heard. That heart that burns so bright for God is no longer doing anything for the Lord. What's worse is that mother who was lost and on her way to hell, has never come to know Christ, never that I heard last ever showed any conviction. Why? Because there was one man that was bearing the traits of an apostate and may have been an apostate, who not only fell away from some truth himself, but he caused a teenage girl to fall away from it. And he caused the mother to fall away from it. The other sibling of the girl to fall away from it. And then the rest of the family domino effect fell away, fell away, fell away, fell away. Detestable relationships. I'm telling us tonight, one day that's all going to come back out. One day all that's going to be made clear as a result of the modern church of our day today, who is making it easy, acceptable, and allowing the filthy dreams of the apostate to come true. As a direct result of that, the American church, the American home, the family is literally on life support today. And what is so sad is so many of us, we don't even realize it anymore. We are allowing things into our homes and lives that we never would have just a few years ago. We are allowing ourselves to watch things on TV mom and dad would have never even dreamed of letting us watch, or we would have never even allowed our children to watch, but now we're watching it. We are listening to things that bring no honor to God. We are going to places that don't honor God. We are allowing things into our world that once were wrong. Somehow along the way, we are bearing the traits of apostasy because now we don't think of it as wrong anymore. We in America, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the place in our nation where we have slipped so far away from the truth that the apostate has slipped into the side door of our nation and has found a home in Hollywood, in Washington, D.C., and in the mainstream media. It all starts right here in the church. The church and the family, it is falling away from the truth of God, having detestable relationships with people, entertainment, and music, and it has led to the total decay and unraveling of the moral fabric of our nation. It's on all sides of us right now. Everything that this world, whether it be in the media, whether it be in Washington or in Hollywood, everything they print, everything they promote, everything they produce, everything they politicize, it glorifies more filth in this world far more than it does integrity, morality, or any form of decency as well. God help each one of us to recognize that somewhere in our lives, somewhere in our past, we have bore the traits of an apostate. We have fallen away from some of the truths of God. And as a result, many of us tonight are getting a grade F on the way that we have stood on the truth of God through all of this stuff. There's nothing that's wrong anymore. If you ever dare to call it out, you're immediately under the gun. You're immediately under fire for it. Everything is acceptable. The Word of God is not the premier guide in our lives anymore. Detestable relationships with things in this world. And those of us that have fallen away from any level of the truth and bear any level of apostasy or the traits of it, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a dream world if we think we're going to get away with it. God's not going to let that happen. He's going to come back to us. And as much as that evangelist affected the life of a young lady who was burning bright for God and whose family and mother may one day perish in hell. I don't know. As a result, I pray, dear God, get a hold of their heart. I have this week. We're going to stand before God one day and give an account for how in our own way we fell away from the truth. Living in a dream world tells us there's a denied reality. There is detestable relationships. How many of you still with me? Say amen. Amen. There is the defiant rebellion. I'm going to deal with rebellion tonight, but I'm going to come back to it in verse number 11. Go home and study it because we have a full verse that is dealing with this matter of rebellion. Rebellion is a problem in our day. You're not exempt from it. I'm not exempt from it. It's a problem. At the heart of anybody who has ever fallen away from the truth, or any apostate, or anybody who has ever been bearing the traits of it, At the heart of it is one thing. One thing. Anybody want to tell me what it is? It is rebellion. Rebelling from what we know to be right. Rebelling from what the Word of God tells us we got to do. When we read verse number 8, Jude breaks down this defiant rebellion really in two different ways, and I want to share them with you. First of all, there is the violent activity. The violent activity, verse number 8, tells us despise dominion. Study it with me. Despise dominion. That word despise, it means to displace, to set aside, or to just totally disregard. This word dominion, it is speaking of lordship, authority. It is speaking of power. It is making a direct reference in this to governmental authority and power. Now follow me very closely right now, because Jude tells us that certain apostates, they will disrespect and they will disregard the rule of law. They will seek to overthrow God-appointed government authority in their own self-proclaimed righteous cause, with no hesitation in using outward violence to make it happen. Anybody been watching the news? Is that not right on target and right on timing for what we are dealing with in our nation right now? Violent rebellion against the rule of law. Now listen very carefully to me. There may come a time, and we've been referencing this, when we may have to rise up with a righteous rebellion. You need to understand there's a difference. With a righteous rebellion, what is the difference between a righteous and an unrighteous rebellion? A righteous rebellion is when you have to rise up and you have to stand against something, whether it be by man or government, whatever, that defies the rule of God. When man or government defies the rule of God, that is when the child of God stands up and says, I'm standing on the side of God. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to borrow from the truth of God. You can do what you wish. I'm going to do what's right. That's righteous rebellion. That day may actually come when we have to do that. It's getting closer. But unless you can prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that that's what's happening, you don't rebel. This takes us back to March 15th. Unless we can prove that our people in our world, in our area, are defying the law of God, I don't think we could in North Georgia, we do not rebel. Are you understanding me? We do not rebel. We comply until it is evident that they are defying the law of God. And then God will tell us what to do next. I believe He did. God will let us know what to do next, how we need to handle it, but we do not rebel. It is bearing the trait of an apostate. Oh, it's so heavy on my heart back then. We got to be careful about this. Rebellion just slips up within us so easily. The Bible says rebellion is something that God will not honor. Rebellious and violent behavior to force or to form a cause is apostasy. Rebellious and violent behavior to form or force a cause is apostasy. And we're seeing that all over the place. Not so long ago, during the height of this stuff that was going on in so many of the streets of American cities, there was a video that surfaced. You may have seen it. In one of the cities, of these groups that had gotten together, and they had a leader of the group, and the video of it was the group that had gathered themselves all together, and somebody was taking the video, phones are everywhere, you know, on there. They had a leader, He was gathering them all together, and he was giving the instructions of how they were going to go about their nefarious activity for that particular night. And he was going through it, and while he was in it, he delivered the most hate-filled, profanity-laced speech that I could ever even imagine. Half of it was bleeped out. You couldn't even hear what was being said. They're all over there. That's right, that's right, that's right. They're cheering him on. He was rallying his crew. And boy, they were eating it up. And I kid you not, as soon as he got finished with the hate speech and the profanity-laced speech that he gave, I kid you not, next words out of his mouth, "All right, before we get started, anybody won't get saved." I played that thing back. Did I really just hear that right? Does anybody want to get saved? Ladies and gentlemen, an apostate will sit on a church seat, sit on a church pew, and have enough of the language of God in his mind that he will go out and be able to draw people into it. But yet on Monday through Saturday, he's out in the world rebelling against the things of God, living like hell in every way that he possibly can. That, friends, is an apostate. Somebody that has fallen away from the truth. God help us never to bear the trait of sitting on a church seat or a pew on Sunday, getting just enough of it in our mind and our heart where we can talk about it, think we can fool everybody else, think we're going to go out and get away with it and then live like the devil in hell for the rest of the week, and think we're going to get away with it. You're living in a dream world. Dream world. It's not going to happen. There's the violent activity Jude talks about here, but the verbal abuse as well. Look at the last part of the verse. You see it? "And speak evil of dignities." You see it? Speak. Verbal. Speak. In other words, dignities that we see right here. It speaks of those who we should have respect for because of the position of authority God has allowed them to hold. If we look at the construction of the word very carefully, we will notice that the word is in the plural, isn't it? And it is pointing actually to people like parents, teachers, employers, or anybody else that we fall under the leadership of. It doesn't matter who it is. Talking about somebody who's above us. There's always somebody above us. Somebody who is above us. The words that we see here, "speak evil of," they actually come from the Greek word blasphemio, meaning what? Our word for blasphemy. We'll revisit that in verse number 10. And it means to rail, to revile, just as they did to who? To the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. To blaspheme against authority, to revile, to rail against your parents, to rail against your teacher, your boss, or anybody else that holds a position of authority in your life. In other words, when a person falls away from the truth of God, bearing the traits of an apostate or is an apostate, part of their rebellion will be seen in the rude. Anybody still in the building right now?
Amen.
The rude, the unkind, the downright hateful language they will use to your face or about you to somebody else. Oh, the Word of God is sharp, isn't it? It's telling us right here that we are bearing the traits of apostasy. We are rebelling against the truth of God. Jude is referring to those people who just simply don't like authority. They do not like people telling them what to do. And they will do everything they can to defy it. They will find crafty little sly ways to get around it. And they will push back against that authority in every way they possibly can to see how far they can go, how much they can get away. So much rebellion, especially in the case of with young people, especially in the case of young people, is a defiant, a sly way to gain attention to themselves. Whenever somebody's got to crave attention, he said with an adult too, there's rebellion there. It is selfishness there. Moms, dads, grandparents, look at me real close right now, everybody. It is not cute. We cannot ever justify it. It is a shame. It is a sign of rebellion. And whether it be with a child, a teenager, or an adult, whoever it is that they are rebelling against, craving attention to, whoever it is, doesn't matter. That had better be curtailed in a hurry. Or whoever the one in authority is quickly going to lose total control of the situation that they find themselves in. By the way, rebellion is prominent in children, but in many cases it is passed down by parents. Whenever I see a streak of it in my daughters, not that they have any, they're perfect. I'm only kidding. But if I ever saw a streak of it, the first thing I do, we talk about this. Look back at my life. Look back at what I was like as a boy. Look back at the rebellion I had as a teenager. Look back at as a young man. I'm thinking about times right now. I in many cases am paying a price. Because I passed some things down. Rebellion that comes out. This is why all of us, every one of us, we ought to fall on our faces. Beg God to cleanse us of our filth. Cleanse us of our defiant rebellion in our lives before it causes anyone else to fall away from the truth of God. Listen to me closely, please. This is very important. This is very important. Nothing or no one is sacred to an apostate. Somebody who falls away from the truth. Nothing or no one is sacred to an apostate, because if they will rebel against the authority of God, they will rebel against you. They will rebel against me. There are a lot of children out there that rebel against their parents. What they don't realize is they're really rebelling against their God. And in reality, they are bearing the traits of an apostate. Many people out there, they rebel against their boss, but in reality, you're rebelling against God. That's who God put in your life as authority. And you can quit if you want to, but until you do, you better not rebel. Because when you do, you're bearing the traits of an apostate. We can go out and we can rebel against the law of the land, the police, our governmental authority, all that we want to, but better be real careful. Because when we do, we are bearing the traits of an apostate. C.S. Lewis said, when you argue against God, you are arguing against the very power that made you able to argue at all. When you argue against God, you are arguing against the very power that made you able to argue at all. Jude is saying, if you think that you're going to get away with living your life in rebellion in any way, young or old, You are living in a dream world. Rebellion will catch up with you. An adult, if it hasn't caught up with you yet, it's going to catch up with you in the lives of your kids. And that's when you're going to feel the regret of it and bear the scars of rebellion for the rest of the days of your life. You're living in a dream world if you think you're going to rebel and get away with it. The story is told of a boy, Sister Mickey, you can come on up. The story is told of a boy who constantly rebelled against his parents, particularly his dad. The boy did everything he could to hurt mom and dad, to defy God. Listen to me. He did everything he could. Broke the heart of mom, broke the heart of dad so badly that one day, he was an older teenage boy. Dad went and got the boy. He said, "Come on, son. I'm going to show you right now what you're doing to your life. You can play softly whenever you want to." The dad took the boy out into the front yard of the house. And he nailed a wooden post into the front yard. He said, "Son, every time you rebel and you disobey, I'm going to put one nail into this wooden post. However, every time that you obey, you do right, I'm going to pull one nail out." The first thing that went through the boy's mind was, "I'm going to do everything I can to fill every square centimeter of that post with nails." And he did. For the course of the next 2 months, he lived like the worst thing that had ever lived. He defied and rebelled against mom and dad in every way that he could. And one by one, dad went out, drove nails, one for each time for his rebellion, into that post. Till the post was one day totally full. No nail could fit anymore. He did what he planned to do. But it started taking such a toll, Brother Daniel, on that boy by seeing what he was doing. Taking such a toll on his mama and his daddy. But that boy in brokenness one day repented. And he got right with God. And he started living for God. He started doing what was right. You know what dad did? One by one, he went out there. Pulled out them nails. It took him months, but one by one, the nails came out. And one day, the final nail was pulled out of that post. The dad and the boy were standing there when he pulled the last one out. And the boy was so excited, but then all of a sudden, he broke down in tears. Dad said, "Son, what's wrong? You ought to be excited. All the nails are out." And through the tears, the boy said, "I'm so glad I got rid of all the nails. But there's nothing I can do about the holes. The holes are forever in that boy said. And no matter how hard I try, I will never get rid of the holes." There's some young boys and girls in here tonight that are rebelling against mom and dad, rebelling against authority, There are some adults that are in here tonight that are rebelling. Rebelling against the authority that God has placed in your life, whatever it might be. Rebellion bears the traits of an apostate. It does not honor God. And we are living in a dream world. If we ever think we're going to get away with it. God has broken my heart about this. God help each one of us tonight to just get it right. Rebellion is in the fabric of our flesh. I want to get it right because I don't ever want to pull out all the nails and be left with all the holes and live my life with the holes of what did not have to be. Let's all stand in the